This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour. Coming live from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. On this Wednesday across the country. 3 hours every single day. We are Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and, of course, Sirius XM 206, 1-855-212-4227. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Virginia's playing tonight, right?
They are. Boston College Caps. On the road, 14-0, I believe.
The Hoos.
Yeah, they're having another excellent regular season, as Tony Bennett always does. The question is, what happens when you get into the postseasons and banging his head on the wall?
Hey.
Last year was a major
just
setback.
Just avoid that 16 seed. You guys should be all right.
Well, no, just avoid the one seed. Let's just not be the one seed.
Well, same thing.
Well, let's not be a one seed. And that way you don't have to worry about it. There's no pressure.
That's true,
you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. That's true. That's true.
Which
is a weird thing to root for, because usually the number one seed, you know, there's a claim there. There's accomplishment there.
That one's
on the resume
just
forever,
Of course it is. I mean, it sucks, but if there's any coach that could deal with it,
yeah,
it was Tony Bennett.
No, I know.
And he dealt with it the right way. Mm-hmm. And look, they're playing fantastic right now.
They're playing at BC, you said, right?
Playing at Boston College.
At BC.
At Boston College today.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
But he's at that point. I know I forgot who we talked to last year. Maybe it was even 2 years ago about Tony Bennett. How, like, these great coaches just can't get over that hump. You know what I mean? They're just, like, banging their head against the wall at the Elite Eight or eventually you break through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's quite that time yet, but his class that he has coming in next year is supposed to be outstanding.
Hey.
A couple of transfers. They kind of like over-recruited, which is always a good thing.
Yep.
So hopefully it happens this year. But if not, Virginia's got some stability going forward.
Oh, there's no doubt. The guys are in good hands, you know that.
Taking off and going somewhere. So I'm looking at the some of these mocks, BT, about the NFL draft and just really the prospects at quarterback. Now, Dwayne Haskins, as we talked about yesterday, declared for the NFL draft, and he started posting a bunch of stuff on social media.
Superimposing himself at a Giants uniform.
Yeah, like, don't bring me home. But he did it with, like, four or five other, you know, places as well. I guess all those teams that are in the top 10 or so, maybe even 15, that are looking for quarterbacks. But it creates a void. Mm-hmm. I mean, by the way, he immediately jumped to the top of the list of all the prospects that could potentially come out. Drew Lock falls to number two. Then you throw in Daniel Jones, a kid from Duke, who we met last year, Ryan Finley from NC State, who we had on earlier in the year. But it created a void at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the quarterback room looked like. I know Tate Martell had a player of the week last year. It was weird. Like, you look at the players of the week, it's like Tate Martell. How the heck did he have a player of the week? Dwayne Haskins was the starting quarterback, but I guess he filled in some meaningless game.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
I just saw it because I did the Big Ten championship. I'm like, huh?
Uh-huh.
Tate Martell. But Justin Fields is transferring there.
Uh-huh.
And Justin Fields, as we all know, is leaving Georgia. He's not going to usurp Jake Fromm and is going to go to Ohio State. Ryan Day gets somewhat of a boost to his post-Urban Meyer job to try to keep Ohio State relevant and at the top, which is going to be hard, by the way. I think it's going to be a difficult challenge for him because of the prestige that came with having Urban Meyer as your head coach and as a recruiter, and people just want to go there, and he leaves all of a sudden. It's not as appealing unless the success follows right away. So he gets Justin Fields to commit, and he's going to come over, and he's applying for this exemption to play immediately. We talked about
what's he basing it on.
So we talked about this briefly when he first said he was going to transfer, but we didn't know he was actually going to transfer because he kind of denied it because they were still in the middle of their season. He's basing it on that baseball player who was saying racial epithets.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And the baseball player got kicked out of school.
Yep.
And
he felt uncomfortable on campus, and he needed to change his environment
Exactly.
for mental health and security.
That's what his That's what his complaint.
It's a pretty strong one.
It is a very strong one, even though it was kind of removed because they kicked the baseball player off the field, off the team. And I think, I don't know if he's out of the school, but he's definitely off the team. I guess it could hold merit if that particular baseball player, and I'm forgetting his name now,
it is irrelevant. It's called Midiot.
Was emblematic of the whole baseball team. You know what I mean? If it was like this guy, yeah, like this one guy was saying it, but everybody else was like co-signing with him, even though they weren't saying anything. And so this could work.
I think he's going to play.
And the reason it's important is because if this works, he can play immediately.
I think he's going to play. Right. I think he's going to win. There's been a real softening, and I don't know that it's apples to apples when you compare football with basketball, though it should be because it's just a premise and like a rule, not shouldn't be sports specific.
Yep.
But Mustafa Heron from Auburn, you know, he was at Auburn first 2 years, transferred to St. John's, second team All-SEC, terrific player, got a good chance to be an NBA player at some point, really good player. He transferred to St. John's this year.
Yep.
Didn't have to sit out because he's
What was the issue?
He's from Connecticut, and his mom, I don't know if it was diabetes, there was some illness, not necessarily life-threatening, but life-altering enough where the NCAA acquiesced and finally showed some mercy and some depth in their thought process. I think what's happening now, that's why I think this kid, Justin Fields, is going to be eligible to play.
Yeah, which will be huge for Ohio State.
But not only, 100%.
Because they have so much talent still on that team.
Oh, yeah. If he's the quarterback and he's as good as he's supposed to be, then they're going to win the Big Ten. They're going to have a chance to win the championship. But I think that over the years, because you're seeing the think about what happened with Diaz and Temple, all right? They can't be so tone-deaf, the NCAA, that
talking about Manny Diaz, who took the job at Temple.
Was there for 17 days, went back to Miami. Boom.
Yep.
So now, I don't know exactly how many players Diaz signed to letters of intent to play at Temple, but even if it's one, that kid is legally binded to play football at Temple.
Right.
And he would need for a year. And if he wants to leave, he's got to sit out. I think we're actually past the beginning stage. I think we're picking up velocity. I'd say we're in the not quite the middle part of the race, but we're past the start of the NCAA getting their heads out of their behinds and understanding that they need to start doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because the coaches could do it, the players, it's not equitable.
Yeah, you're right. Now, this is the question, though, is this the right thing? Right? Justin Fields likely came to Georgia thinking, okay, I know that Fromm is there. He was a true freshman last year. Yeah, I know he took him to the national championship game, but they promised me I was going to get a chance to compete and likely win the job. I'm sure they said, "You're better than him. You're gonna beat him out." He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Mm-hmm. And Jake Fromm had a heck of a season. And so Justin Fields could have chosen to go someplace else, but he didn't. He chose to compete against Fromm, and he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using an excuse, which I mean, there's merit to it.
You think he's making it a convenient?
It works.
That's what lawyers do.
It works.
Because there's enough substance to his claim.
Yes.
You can't rule it out.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Is it a bit of a stretch? I can see why it would be perceived that way in some circles.
Yeah. So
I think it's going to work, though.
The question then becomes, like, when does the NCAA just get rid of it? And should they get rid of the requirement to sit out for a year?
I don't think they should.
They can't.
There still needs to be some sort of impediment that even on the lowest of levels, dissuades players from treating college like free agency. Because at least if you know that you have to go through the process, there's a chance that you might not win. And not everybody's going to be quick to co-sign and sign up for that. So if there's no process, I think you'll have guys bouncing mid-year. I think roster configuration would get maybe irreparably
damaged. It'd get hard.
It would get...
Because a lot of these teams, like for instance, they don't have another quarterback, right? So if Fromm, something should happen.
They don't have a third stringer?
Well, they do, but I think he was a freshman. And so and I don't know if he was like a five-star or four-star guy. So you end up, you know, having these aspirations, and then all of a sudden your quarterback gets hurt and they're shot because of who your backup is.
Yeah, that's fair. But so, I mean, weighing that, which is a very real possibility, versus the direction and the virtues of the NCAA, which I think are finally changing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. You get 5 years to play 4 years of ball. You're 18 to 22 once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are
you going to really stick your thumb on somebody's neck and not allow them the room to determine their own future? Mm-hmm. It just seems inherently wrong.
Yeah, no.
How do you do that to kids?
And this kid, because I think he has the chops to be really good in college and maybe have a chance to get to the NFL. And if he plays with this team that's currently constructed at Ohio State, mm-hmm. it's going to look great for him. I think it creates a new competitive atmosphere in the Big Ten as well. Now, Ryan Day, here's the other side of this.
Yep.
He's stealing coaches is
I
how
saw
it's
this
being,
too from
it's
Michigan.
Being presented. Mm-hmm. Now, I had to go back and look at these two
people
guys.
People jumping off ship Ann Arbor.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Look out below!
So Al Washington. So let's because this was an inbounds, out-of-bounds question. We didn't get to it. Yeah. But Al Washington, who was their linebackers coach, he was only in Michigan for 1 year, had a two-year deal. He was in Cincy before that, and he had bounced around a couple places prior. But he was in Cincinnati in 2017. Then he goes to Michigan on a two-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's 33 years old, so youngish for a linebacker coach. And he bounces after a year to go to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They need him. I think he's – I don't know if Jim Harbaugh was like, this is my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just, it's all perception.
Okay.
The other assistant coach, Greg Madison, was formerly the defensive coordinator. He's been there for a while, since 2011 at Michigan. He was formerly the defensive coordinator. When Harbaugh and his staff came in 2015, he got, I don't want to say demoted, but whatever. He got demoted. He became a D-line coach.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's leaving to go back to be a co-defensive coordinator. Co-defense coordinator at Ohio State.
So he wants to stick it to Harbaugh. Well, that's what it sounds like.
So I read this question, and I was reading this, I was like, let me figure out who these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's labeled as coaches are leaving Michigan to go to Ohio State.
Let
me get in the rabbit hole a little bit here with this. Well, first of all, Al Washington, I don't know how significant he was. I don't want to call him insignificant, but he was there for a year.
Okay.
Right? So less significant than I think people would say. And George Madison, who's a good coach, he's also 70 years old.
Is he?
He's 70 years 70. Old. And he wants to be a D coordinator.
He wants to win a championship
win. I think there needs to be context assigned to some of these headlines that we read as we intellectually want to say, Jim Harbaugh is just losing his touch.
That's not the way the world works.
He's losing his ambitious grip. Want. These guys are jumping ship and going to the rival at Ohio State. All right, just look a little bit into it. Jim Harbaugh's not losing anything. I'm sure Jim Harbaugh will replace these two guys with very capable assistant coaches.
I'm sure. I'd like to know those two guys. Where are they from? Are they from Ohio? Or are they from Michigan? Did they
not sure?
Did they play? Did one of them play for the Buckeyes back in the day?
I don't think either of them did. I mean, George, if Greg Madison did it, Madison, it was
60s, just about. Yeah, 60s.
It's got to be 60s.
Yep,
for 50 years ago. Yeah.
Wow, leather helmet time. Still on the staff. That's great. I want to ask you real quick. They've got. Give me about 30 seconds, 40, whatever. Quick on this, though. Back to Haskins and the draft possibility for a moment, right? Because I've heard a lot of this. Like, the Giants are at 6, the Jags are at 7.
Yep.
And, you know, I've heard not just Giant fans, but
Jags have to take a quarterback.
The Jaguars do.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question. But I've heard a lot of fans, both of these teams, say if Haskins is there and he – and I mean, unless somebody's going to jump over you, I don't think he's going to be there at 6 or 7.
No.
But if he is there at 6 or 7 – you take him, obviously, but you don't give up draft equity to jump up to the top spot to get him, which I think is idiotic because if you draft somebody at 6, aside from the draft equity, what you're still saying is he is absolutely going to be our future franchise quarterback.
No doubt about
it. So give up whatever it takes to get to 1 to
you're
get
right.
him.
And by the way, if it's an organization like the Giants, this is my 30-second answer on it,
yep.
like the Giants, you got to assume that like it hit the fan 2 years ago. We got a top end pick and we got a once in a lifetime running back.
Uh-huh.
It hit it again in a sense because we're in the top 10, top, you know, maybe, you know, top 6. Yeah, top 6.
Nope.
We're not going to be here again. So if we got to go to 1 to get him, go to 1 to get him.
Do what you have to do.
To go to 1 to get him.
Okay. I figured you'd say that. Yeah. I just wanted to run that by you. T Cup, by the way, in, 20 minutes, our buddy Lee Bryce is going to join the show. We've had him on a few times.
Big Clemson fan.
He was at the game.
He was.
Cray, I saw his Instagram, having a great time. He just retweeted something we put on our Twitter account. So we'll have Lee coming up right around 5:40 Eastern. Up next, we'll do the blast before that. We'll just invert those segments. So we've got the blast coming
gotcha.
Up next
gotcha.
Okay. Right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time, Tiki, to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Then we'll get to the blast. And then Lee Bryce, big-time Clemson fan, going to join us a little later in the show. All right, so let's answer this. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Pete Leiden at PLeiden7. So, guys, with the Broncos hiring Fangio, the talk in Denver's that Kubiak's going to become the OC. My question is, what does Kubiak and older offensive minds in the game today need to do to adjust and embrace the new style in the NFL? Good question. Go ahead, Teak.
No, it's a good question. The league is all copycat. You've heard this many times. It's a cliche these days, but it's instituting things that forces opposing defenses to have to think about what defenses they call, what dogs they call, what blitzes they call. It used to be we're going to just line up and we're going to beat you. Even if we know it's coming, we're going to block it up, et cetera. And so I think what Gary Kubiak needs to do, if he does become the offensive coordinator, is take some lessons from some of the young kids that he's seen around the National Football League.
That's tough for some older folks to change. It's like, you know, it's like my dad liking young music.
Yeah.
He wants to listen to his doo-wop.
Right.
He's never going to change.
You're right.
Doo-wop's pretty good, though, by the way. A little Four Seasons for you.
Of course
you.
It is.
Not quite as good as the Kinky Boots music. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, let's blast away. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Frank Reich will not dictate offense to keep Mahomes off the field. Check this out.
If it's running it for 200 or throwing it for 400, I'm always going to say the same thing. I mean, we're trying to score every time we touch the ball, and we're going to game plan and call the game in a way to score points. We're really not trying to think so much about, well, let's hold the ball and keep it from them. We want to run it. There's no secret about that. That does keep them off the field. That'd be great, but at the end of the day, the primary goal is score points.
Interesting. Doesn't hurt that Marlon Mack's coming off a big game and really a big month. What do you have, 143 on the ground last week in the win against the Houston Texans? He's playing well. All right, Teak, is that the right plan to be willing to get into a shootout with the Chiefs? Because in essence, that's what might happen.
Yeah, no, I think Frank Reich is exactly right in what he's doing. And the reason is because their normal offense is extraordinarily efficient. They're number one in the league in third down conversions at 48.5%. Once they get into the red zone, they're fifth in the league in touchdown percentage at 68%. So they score. I mean, they don't have to do anything special because statistically they're doing just all right, especially with the advancing of their run game over the last couple of weeks. They don't have to do anything special. They just got to ball control the right way.
I'm going at the Chiefs, man. I'm walking into this game saying I can hang 40 on these guys. Who's stopping Eric Ebron?
Yeah.
Who's stopping T.Y. Hilton?
True.
Who's stopping Marlon Mack? Who's stopping Gabriel? Who's stopping these guys? And the point is, as great as Mahomes is and he's going to win the MVP, Andrew Luck's pretty good as well. So if I have Andrew Luck, I have no problems getting into a shootout. I'll take my chances. I think people are upset because they thought that Andrew Wiggins, I know you saw this, used a homophobic slur talking about Dennis Schroeder.
I don't know what's wrong with him. he was just gay. He was acting crazy for no reason. He's not someone I look at as a problem.
Okay, so there you go. What did he say? He was acting. What did he say?
Yeah.
He said he was acting gay. Is that what he said?
That's what it came out as. But
is that what he said?
But he said that he was saying he was getting. He was saying getting, and he stopped saying it.
Right.
So it came out as gay.
Honestly,
when I read it, and I just read it, I didn't like. I didn't listen to it until just now.
No.
I thought he was using gay as a to what it actually means.
What, happy?
No, like just queer, like odd. You know what I mean? Not as a slur.
I don't think any NBA player that drops, I don't think that's what they're going to, I don't think
Wiggins,
that's their word association.
He's Canadian. But that's what I thought. I was like, why is he, it didn't make sense. Like the context of what he was saying didn't make sense.
Unless he was trying to say that he was soft. That's what I thought he was getting at. I don't know. But anyway, he did apologize.
No, because the wording of the sentence was that he was acting like crazy, like odd. You know what I mean? Like he was over-aggressive when it's not his personality. I think that's what he was getting at.
All right, well, Wiggins did respond saying that
he was saying getting instead of saying gay. Yeah.
Do we buy his excuse?
I mean,
I've got a personal policy in life when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
as long as it's not incredibly egregious, I'm going to give you a chance.
You're right.
Sometimes you slip up. I'm not saying that it's okay, but
you're right.
If you sometimes your tongue gets in the way of your lips, and sometimes a word becomes a different word, you know, I'll give him the chance. I'm going to take him at his word, and that he was not taking a shot, and you know that's what
agree.
He meant.
I would agree.
Right. So that's the responsible thing to do. Now, if he does it again, then he loses that that opportunity to be forgiven so easily.
You're right.
Jason Tatum admits that he traded himself for Anthony Davis. If you were the Celtics, would I trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis? Of course I would do it. I would trade Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for Anthony Davis combined. And I like both of those players a lot.
Yeah.
I might even trade, I mean, now we're getting stupid here, but would I even trade, I don't know, Tatum, a number one pick, and Jaylen Brown for Anthony Davis?
Yeah, he's a difference maker. He's an MVP candidate.
Anthony Davis is great.
He's unbelievable. The Boston Celtics currently 24-15. They're fifth in the East. Do they need an injection of something? Maybe a little bit. Could that be Anthony Davis? Yes, because we've been talking about it for 2 years
My
now.
My only knock, though, on Davis, the NBA is the one sport where if you are great, and I know that he's great. I'm just trying to prove a point. You really can one guy singularly elevate a franchise. And he hasn't done that.
No.
He has not done that for the Pelicans. It's just a fact.
But there also hasn't been a lot around him. The one time they got close last year was because of Holiday, who had
Boogie.
A ridiculous season.
Drew Holiday was great.
He was an unbelievable season. Rondo had a great season in the postseason, and then Boogie was there for a lot of it. So.
And they did beat the Warriors once, and they almost beat them. They almost beat them a second time. They were competitive.
They swept
I think it was the Portland, I think
Portland.
They swept.
Yeah,
but they at least took a game for the Warriors. So, yeah, he needs more talent. He's great, though. Major League Baseball's payrolls have dropped $18 million, the first decrease since 2010. Should Major League Baseball be worried?
Yeah, I think they should be worried. We talked about this. I think there's a resettling of how teams are calculating their returns on some of these monster contracts that they've been given to these guys.
Oh, there's a complete resetting of it.
And that's coupled with the fact that attendance has dropped 4%. It's the lowest in 15 years, 93.7 million they lost in total. About 42 million of that is concessions. And so there's a reset of how business is being run.
Yeah.
I think it's natural.
You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I'll tell you why. Because what I think this is directly attributable to, and I actually think it's a smart thing, teams are no longer willing to pay. Like to get like Robinson Cano, you know, Seattle gave him that 10-year contract, which was, and now the Mets are paying. Seattle picked up a little bit, but you know, there was a long time where you're paying guys and you're paying 20% for past performance.
Yes, true.
They're not doing that anymore.
You're right.
That's part of the reason why the numbers are dropping. It's been a different philosophy, which I think is smart. It'll keep the product fresher and more athletic moving down the road. And I think it'll give teams more flexibility to infuse and add to their roster. So I actually like it. I don't think it's a bad sign at all. Jalen Hurts. I love this transfer portal. For those who don't know, they have a transfer portal, which is great.
Exactly.
It's a really, instead of my handler, let me get on the phone. No, they have a transfer portal. Oh, Jalen Hurts, let's see. www.ncaaportal, transfer, whatever, /back/portal. Oh, Jalen Hurts is available. He's in the portal. I like that. Can he be a star outside of Tuscaloosa?
I think he can. Anything is possible if he gets into the right system. And we also know he knows how to win. He's a winner. I mean, what's his record at Alabama? It's ridiculous.
A lot to a little.
Exactly.
Actually, a lot to almost nothing.
I think he's only two losses that he's had in his entire career as a starter. And then we saw him in the SEC championship game come in still a little bit banged up from himself. And just dominate Georgia down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't think he's a star.
I don't think he's a star.
But that's the question. Can he be a star?
A star means winning. To me, a star is winning. Was Jalen Hurts a star when he...
Was McElroy a star at Alabama? That's all he did was win?
Yeah, Alabama.
No, I'm just making sure that... Okay, I view it differently in terms of definition.
As long as you win, you're a star.
I mean, to me, a star is the guy who's the best guy on the field. Or one of the best guys on the field. But all right, semantics, whatever. Do I think, fitting my definition? No, I don't think he's that kind of player. Great respect for him, and we gave him so much praise rightfully. He kept himself engaged mentally, ready physically. He delivered it. He stepped up like a champion. Do I think he's going to be a star? No. Do I think he goes to a team with lesser talent and elevates them to 11 wins? And I don't think he's that kind of player. Tua is. I don't think Jalen Hurts is, with all due respect.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, Teek. The last time we saw him in person, we were handing out some hardware to the great Lee Bryce on stage. What was it, 10 million downloads? It was something crazy. What award did we give him?
We have to find it on
social
media.
What award was that? You were there. What was the award?
Yeah, it was a lot.
At the Sony Theater, which is a great venue.
It was a lot of downloads.
I think it was 10,000 downloads.
I don't know if it was 10 million downloads. I don't know if it was downloads or records.
I think it had to do something digital. I really believe it was a digital award.
But he did.
Well, we'll ask him. He's probably got so many, he doesn't even remember the award we gave him. It's in his attic. But he will join us coming up next to talk about Clemson. He is a devout Tigers fan, was the long snapper back there. So he is a Clemson guy through and through. We love Lee Bryce. He is next at their Axe Update, which is coming at you right now. Here's Rich. That's our buddy Lee Bryce. Still having a good time. Still might be down in celebratory shots. Who knows? He likes to have a little fun. Big Clemson fan. We'll get him up on the line in a minute, have a little fun, catch up, talk some football, get into it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Rumor. There it is. Sounds great. Listen, everything that this guy does is good. He's just a talented guy. He's a humble guy. He's a cool guy. He just gets it. He gets it. He knows that he's blessed in life and he's having a great time. And let's face it, you know, when your football team beats the crap out of Alabama and you're there, life is really good. Lee, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back, man. How you been?
Oh, dude. Oh, I've been really good. We had a great holiday. Had a long year on the road. You know, it's a good thing to be busy, but I was glad to be home for, you know, a good bit of December and then, yep, you know, the last few weeks and with the family. And then, you know, I'd kind of gotten my hands on some early tickets just in case. And book flights and all that stuff. And seems like every time I do that, it ends up working out. But man, it couldn't have been. I don't think it could have been any better. It was beautiful.
Yeah. No. Last time we had you here in studio, you were releasing Boy, and now you're releasing Boomer. We're watching the campaign with Ashton Kutcher and Peyton Manning's up there. Do you even play golf? Can you hit a ball?
Oh, he's good. He plays golf.
27 yards.
He's good.
Yeah. I'll play in a tournament next. Hey, I need y'all got to send me your rumor video. I know y'all got some rumors going around the studio there.
There's rumors going around here. I looked at some of the ones that were posted by a lot of your fans out there. One from Amber caught my attention. Amber says, come play my – I hear the rumor is you're going to come play my wedding. She's getting married soon on October 19th.
Hey,
that's my favorite so
know.
Far.
Hey, you never know. I might show up.
Yeah, for about $500,000, you'll show up and you'll do it, right?
Are you seriously going to make one of these come true? Is that going to happen?
I am. I'm going to figure some out. But, you know, there's cool people there. I mean, there's like I saw like an elementary school do like – there's a rumor about the whole school doing stuff. So like, you know,
that's cool.
We might get something really cool. You never know. It could be a wedding if somebody says something like that, or it could be a elementary school or a high school, or it could be a fire department, or it could be whoever.
Yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny because all these rumors, even my buddies who did them, they made up a bunch of really outrageous stuff, right? Some of it was true, and some of it was, you know, half true, but whatever. but that's been a really cool, fun thing to do for the song. And the song is, you know, taking off like crazy, and that's really good, great for us, and we're excited about it.
You're humble, but you're a world-class star. You're an absolute superstar. And I want to ask you this. Let's give it to you, Tigers, for a minute here. Let's expound on this. We just put the picture of you and I there's two other gentlemen, older. I don't know if it's your dad. Tell us, for number one, who's in the picture? I think one of them is your son.
Who's in that picture? Okay, so my daddy?
Yep.
Kenny Bryce, which I was named after. My real name is Kenneth.
Uh-huh.
I'm Junior. And then my brother, who is an up-and-coming singer, his name is Lewis Bryce.
Uh-huh.
And then my son, my oldest son, Dakota. And, you know, they were my kids, obviously, like, kind of like I was. They were born in the, you know, orange blood. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it wasn't like they just, you know, they're Clemson fans because that's all they've known since they were babies. And so he was old enough this year, and he'd never been to California. In fact, my daddy's never been to California.
Oh, wow.
What?
So it was so special. I mean, man, we're from South Carolina, a little town, you know.
Yeah.
He grew up. He got married. He got recruited to play at Clemson. Daddy did. But he stayed home, got married, had us kids, worked at the power company his whole life.
That's
now he's got
cool.
his own kind of electric company. You know, so it's so special to be able to take my daddy you know, and now my son is going to go be in that atmosphere. And, but the Alabama fans, I've been to three national championships now. Kind of fun to say with them. And so, but every time though, the Alabama fans are always so, so respectful, like no matter whether they win or lose or whatever. And, I thought that was really cool, you know, to see. And so I knew it was a good place to take, you know, Dakota too, to see a good example of, you know, you can go to some places and they can be pretty harsh.
Yep.
But also, Lee, a lot of those Alabama fans, they're pumping your music on a daily basis. So, I mean, they can't be disrespectful.
That's true. They're tailgating listening to Lee Bryce.
Look, Lee, one of the cool things about talking to you, and we have celebrities on every now and then, but a lot of them like sports, but they don't like know sports. You know sports because you played it. You know, as you looked at this Clemson team early in the year, they were obviously very good, but your coach made a decision to go away from Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence. And I get it. The kid's a star coming out of high school. He's a top recruit in the country. You got people had to be scratching their head. Like, this dude's a freshman. I mean, I get it. He's a stud, but he's a freshman. He's got long hair. He's got the pretty looks. I mean, all these other things. Like, did you believe that he could do what he did? I mean, he's been amazing all season, but particularly in the national championship game, he was unreal.
Here's what I think about what happened. And this has happened. Dabo has, especially the last 5 years, I mean, Dabo's had, I guess, 9 or 10 win seasons in a row or more, you know, or better. But what I've seen is, what I've noticed since Dabo came, before that I was always on pins and needles every game. You never knew, like, what was going to happen. And it was because there was this inconsistency, and you had the same team you started with at the beginning of the year than you did at the end of the year. Well, since Dabo came in, I've noticed that over the season, our team always gets better and better and better and better. And if we make it to that latter part of the season, it's like watching my boys the other night, it looked like everything was textbook. I mean, the tackling, the coverages, the throws that they don't just practice throwing, you know, a post and just catching the ball in their chest. They practice stretching those receivers out because they know if you're going to be against a, you know, a great DB, that's not going to just be a throw and catch. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
And but this, when he did the quarterback change, I feel like as good as Bryant is, the year before, our biggest downfall, our only real downfall that I feel like we couldn't get past and we could never get over is he just couldn't quite at that time. Hopefully he'll learn it, but that long ball that he passed just never could get in. So that's essential if you're going to be a national champion, or you know, if you're going to be. And so I think that was probably, if I was Dabo, that was probably his deciding factor. If he had given Bryant in the second year and he still wasn't connecting on those long balls, you know, even just downfield passes, not necessarily long ball, just the downfield stuff. I mean, man, if you got a guy who can do that on a regular basis,
you gotta let him loose.
As soon as I saw Oklahoma landing some long balls over Alabama, I said, you know what? I know that we have an absolute chance against. You know, Alabama looks like a freaking machine. You know, they look like it all the time, and they are. But once I saw that was a little hole, I knew. So I feel like he just decided that was. If Bryant wasn't going to be able to pull that off this season, that would have been our downfall again.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably a good decision to do what he did. And now you've got a quarterback who is experienced, extremely experienced to be a freshman, and with the talent of who knows.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he's so relaxed, and he's humble, and Dabo oozes that all over every player. And but yeah, I mean, I think that's probably why he did it, because that downfield pass is a big deal against. You know, you get a few of those against a big team, you can beat anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we're talking to Lee Bryce, of course, amazing country singer and monster Clemson fan and former Clemson player as well. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. In a lot of ways, you probably sweat more during the first half of the Notre Dame game.
That's true.
Than a couple of bounces. The Irish, I'm not saying they would have clipped you, but they got a couple of bad bounces that made the final score maybe not exactly as reflective of the tone of the game actually was. There's no way you expect to beat Alabama 44-16, but I want to circle back to something you just said. Because you said, given the vulnerabilities in the passing game, that you thought that you had a chance to beat Alabama. All right, I'm gonna believe you on that, right? But when you walked into that stadium, because there's hope and then there's conviction, did you have more hope or more conviction, honestly, when you walked into that stadium?
I was honestly like 50-50. I had a lot of hope, and a lot of that hope really sincerely was conviction.
Okay.
So it's about 50-50 because I think any team can beat any team. You know, you never know who's going to show up that day. Okay, that's always a given rule of thumb for me. But with Alabama, it's harder because – like you said, they're a machine. They know how to do everything. But I have seen, but only because we've been in the championships with them, we played them. The very first time we played Alabama in the very first national championship, I was there, and I saw Alabama's faces. As soon as they came off the ball, they had never, all season long, I could see they were like, wait a minute. We haven't felt this kind of like manpower all year.
It's Mike Tyson, man. Everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
They go, whoa. They go, wait a minute. And that's why, even now, I know we lost, right? We lost, but Saban admitted at the end of the game, why did he do the onside kick? He said, because we were going to lose the game if we didn't do something.
Yeah.
You know? And it's because they got smashed in the mouth. And what happened with this game, I believe, is Alabama, to their credit even, they don't know what it feels like to be in a deficit, really.
Yeah.
They don't know what it feels like to be being beaten up.
Yeah.
And so the players, I guess neither nor the coaches, because even Saban looked like he was scratching his head, like, I don't know what to do.
He was confused. I agree. He was searching, scuffling.
Yeah, those failures serve you well. Like early in the season, Texas A&M, you won by 2. Syracuse, you won by 4. Those things help you along the way. Lee, we only have about a minute and a half here, but when are you coming back to the Northeast? When are you going to be back in the Northeast so we can get a chance to see you?
Hey, dude, I come up there all of the time, starting in the beginning of the year. So probably starting in February, we'll hit it hard.
Nice.
And we come up there a lot, and we love it up there. And so we'll come see y'all and come see you in person, okay?
Most certainly, yeah. Definitely get in the studio. We'd love to see you again.
But we're not getting wait. You're not getting off that easy. When are we getting some of this American-born whiskey, man?
Oh, dude.
What's going on?
It'll be in the mail tomorrow.
Nice.
And it'll be consumed fast. Hey, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah,
sincerely happy for you. I was rooting for Clemson. No, I don't want Alabama fans to get mad at me, but I was just feeling Clemson.
Dude, I
wanted Clemson to win.
I'm an ACC guy.
Yep, I hear you.
Well, I think the ACC is a little stronger now. And so, y'all, I appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all. Happy New Year to y'all, too. And we'll see you soon. We'll get up to see you in the next couple months.
Lee Bryce.
Take care, Lee.
Thanks, pal.
All right, y'all. See you later.
All right, man. Guy's got life. You just follow him on Instagram.
Oh, he's
living
great.
Well.
Oh, he's
fishing, golfing, drinking.
Going to a national championship game.
Yep.
That's cool.
Having fun with his beautiful
cool
wife. They seem to have a really
good
relationship.
I didn't think about that.
What's that?
His dad was recruited to play football.
Yeah,
And he, you know, back then he just made the decision to become a family man as opposed to and he worked at an electric company. Now he has his own electric company. He snuck in there.
I know. But you could tell that Lee's got a work ethic that he got from his dad.
Oh, there's no doubt
just
about
a grittiness
it.
And a toughness and an appreciation for what he's earned.
You know what's funny?
Which is awesome.
I have my older kids. They call me dad now. Dad or pop. Right? I love that he still calls his dad daddy.
Daddy. That's a South thing. That's great.
That's a Southern thing. It's
that
just cool.
Is a,
I haven't heard it in a long time.
I hear you.
I've been in the Northeast for 20 plus years.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of cool he calls him daddy still.
He is one of the best. We got to get him out here again.
Yeah.
Santa found the picture from the, if you want to see, it was 11, Mike, what was it? It wasn't 11 million digital downloads. It was 11 million records.
Just 11 million records sold.
Yeah. Wow.
He was also just inducted in June to the Pandora's Billionaires Club,
oh,
which
wow.
I guess is a billion listens.
Listens.
Which is incredible.
That's a lot of listens.
Yeah. How many people are in there? I know I'm throwing you on the spot now.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Jackson, Madonna, are we talking Elton John, are we talking the Rolling Stones?
I would assume all those guys are in there.
Wow.
It's a numbers game, so
yeah.
I'm sure you know.
He's had
Bieber's
a couple
probably
of,
in
he's
there
had
too.
A couple of songs
Bieber.
That are just really hit. Boy did. Rumors going to get there.
Jay-Z is going to be in there.
What was the other song? Drinking Class. That's that's one of
his. You love that one.
That's a great.
I
one.
I love Boy because that's what Colton was just a little monkey, and you listen to that song. Not afraid to say, I had tears, and I said I haven't heard it in a while. Every time I hear that. Boy, you're gonna just get tears in my eyes. He hits the heart. Great guy.
Yeah, man.
Teak, big show tomorrow, Thursday. Yep. We'll really start to zero in on the games coming up on the weekend. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Everybody enjoy their Wednesday night. Thanks to Lee Bryce. We will see you tomorrow. We gotta go. Peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.